Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Gimel. Begin on the bottom of daf Ayin Beis Ma Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins a discussion relating different halachas that apply to the halachas of Ribbis through the format of someone who is transporting something from one place to another, and because of someone intervenes regarding what the halacha could be in regards to halachas of Ribbis. So the Gemara begins, Tarnban Winna Braisa. The first case that the Braisa discusses regards to something similar to what's called a tarsha. As follows, Hamelech Chavila Mimakom Lamakom. If someone is transporting produce, merchandise from one place to another place, meaning from where it's cheaper to where it's more expensive, that's how people make money. You buy where it's cheap and you sell where it's high. Now, Mitzar Chaveyeva Amalai. Now, his friend encountered him and he saw him that he's about to take the delivery and bring it to where he could sell it for a higher price. And he tells him, look, Tneili, do me a favor, give me this produce and I'll bring it up to that place. And I'll sell it at the high price, and I'll do what I need to with the money, because I need money to do things with it, until a certain time. And then I'll pay you the price that it's sold for, the expensive price that you would sell it for over there. I'll give it to you then. Now, Vani Elcha, Kederach Shemayin Lecha Baisa Makom, he says, and I'll give it to you, meaning the whole reason why you're going over there, and you're transporting, you're traveling, is to be able to sell it at that expensive price. Don't worry, give it to me here. You don't have to travel. I'll go travel over there, I'll sell it for that price, and then I'll use the money, and then I'll give you that price which you would have gotten over there anyway. I'll pay you that at that later point in time. So on that, the price continues on top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. It depends. If Bishrus Meicher, if all along it was in the domain of the seller, meaning the seller accepted the responsibility of any liabilities that happen on the journey up until it gets to that more expensive location, meaning up until that it's sold, then mutter then is permitted for them to do this procedure because there is no loan, because it's not considered in the domain of this borrower, the guy who wants to take it from him and use it for his own purposes until it's actually sold. And when it is sold for the expensive price over there, it was sold in the domain of the original owner. It's only after that it's sold for that high price. Then the guy who is selling it for him goes and uses it for his own purposes. So when he pays him back the higher price, that's what he borrowed from him, because he only borrowed it from him once it's sold. So then it's permitted. But b'shus lekeach aser. But if it was already in the domain of the consumer right away, he says, oh, you want to do that for me? Great, I don't want to travel all the way down there. So go here, let's make up right now. You take responsibility, you'll give me the higher price. That's forbidden, because that means to say the loan is happening right now. And then when he's returning to him the money that was lent to him, meaning through this product, he's giving him back more than what he took, which is a problem of ribbis. Similar type of a case. Now, in regards to halacha of sabisa, which is a different halacha of ribbis regarding you're not allowed to borrow and give back exactly what was borrowed, because in the problem it might in interim have gone up in price for the same cup of flour or cup of sugar, and then it's going to be ribbis on that loan. So the Braisa says, Hamoylich peris mimakom lamakom. Again, someone who's transporting produce from one place to another place to sell it over there. Matzach aveir v'amar lai. So his friend encounters him and he says, look, tenemli, give me your produce and I'm going to eat it over here. I could use some produce. Now, you're saying, why should I give it to you over here? I could sell it more expensive over there. He says, don't worry. Vani elecha, and I'll provide for you at that certain date from peirish yeshli b'yisamakam, from produce that I have over there in that place. And you'll get the same, what you need, you're transporting it over there because you need to want to be able to sell it over there. Don't worry, at a later point in time, I'll give you produce that I have over there. So, says the Braisa, it depends. Im yeshli peiris b'yisamakam mutter. If he has actually produce in that place, then it's permitted, because right now it then transfers from the domain of this guy who has it over there to the guy who's giving him his produce over there, even though, and that's the chiddush of this halacha, that he didn't do meshicha, he didn't acquire it by drawing it to him. But since this whole halachic problem of sabisa is not biblical ribbis, it's not through a form of a loan, it's just avak ribbis, which is only rabbinic, so therefore, as we've mentioned in other contexts before, and as was the Bahag's version of what we quote on the bottom of the previous daf, which is that if you have yeshloi, then it takes care of rabbinic problems, like in this case of sabisa, so therefore that's going to be valid. Now, vimla, but if the guy doesn't have produce in that place, then also then it's going to be forbidden, because essentially what's happening over here is because for the delay of the money, he's giving him back produce, not over here in the cheaper place, but in the more expensive place, which that differentiation is ribbis on the money that he's on the produce that he's giving to him right now, therefore that's problematic. Next case, also about transporting from one place to another place. This time is regards to halacha of pisuk, which is that if someone pays forward, and then he's going to get delivered at a later point in time, that can be problematic regarding the halachas of ribis. So on that, the Braisa says, v'chamorin. Regarding donkey drivers, who they would make their profits on produce because they would take it, produce from one place where it would, they were able to buy cheaper and sell it in the more expensive places. So on that, the Braisa says that these donkey drivers, malim b'makam ha'yekur ki b'makam hazel, they are allowed to go ahead and charge in the more expensive places a cheaper price as it is cost in the cheaper places. Meaning, why would they do that? What they would do is they would go to the wealthy people in the place where the market value is much higher. It's much more expensive. Now, they would go ahead and take money from them on the condition that they're going to provide for them produce by the cheaper price where you could only get in that cheaper place where that's where they, the wholesale price, the cost price, that's they promise them they're going to give them for that. And says the price of Ein Chayshishin, and there's no halachic concern of ribis, which seemingly it should be, because essentially it's what it's called agernater. What happens is that the wealthy people are giving them money now. Now, you don't have the product yet, but now you have cash. You'll then give me the product at a later point in time, but it's they're paying him the cheaper price and getting it back on the more expensive value where they live, where it's more expensive. So seemingly it's because of the delay of money that they don't get their product right away, and this chamarin could use the money. That's why they're getting cheaper, that they're getting more for their money. That's a problem of agernater. So why isn't that a problem? So ask the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara has two interpretations. Rav Papa, he says, nichelhu. Actually, the donkey drivers prefer it to megalaluhu tara, because through the capital, through the money that the wealthy people give them, they have recognition that they are merchants to reckon with. And therefore, the homeowners of the cheap place will give them credit, and they'll give them good prices, and they'll make money by being able to buy in large bulk. Now, as Rashi points out, even if, and this is the point why it's not a problem of ribis, of agernater, even if the wealthy people would not let them give a delay of time, rather they say, no, we're going to give you money, we want, however, the cheap price right now, which that would take away the whole agernater, he wouldn't have time to play with the money, still the donkey driver would prefer to go through the effort and be the agent of the wealthy people to accept the responsibility of anything that's going to happen, that's going to be all his loss, and he's going to be giving them the cheaper price, just because that opens up the gates for them of the market where they have now a lot of capital, and people go, oh, this guy, he's a real merchant. So it's nothing to do with agernater. They're not getting the cheaper price because of the delay of the money. Even if he would have to deliver it right away, he wants to take and provide for them a cheaper price just so he has a lot of money to go ahead and be recognized as a merchant. Rav Acha bar Dav Ikam, he says, a different version, he says, Nichelhu, the donkey drivers prefer it. It's, in other words, not regards to, it's not a benefit just for the wealthy people. Rather, the donkey drivers prefer it to Moizli Gabayu. It's because actually, the people from the cheaper location, the wholesalers, when they hear that this worker, this donkey driver, is not making that much money, because he tells them that the wealthy people over there cut him down to the cheapest price that he gets it for himself, they're actually going to make the price even lower for him, because they don't want him to stop working in this service, because he buys bulk from them. They're very happy with him. So they're going to go ahead and make it cheaper for him. So therefore, although he's making it cheaper for the wealthy people, he likes it too, because when he tells this to his providers, his suppliers, they make it even cheaper for him so that he can stay in business. And therefore, it's not because of agernater, it's actually for the benefit of the chamarim himself, because he gets a cheaper price when he tells them how he sold it cheaper to them. Now the Gemara might be, now what's the difference between these two reasons? So Ikebenai, the difference is tagra chadata. When you have a new merchant who is not recognized yet by the wholesalers, by the plantation owners, wherever it is that he's getting from in that cheaper place, according to the one who says that it's just that when he has more money, so then it opens up the market for him. So according to that opinion, that would apply over here, because it doesn't make a difference if they know him or not. They see he comes with tons of cash, they're going to let him go in front of the line, they're going to open up their storehouses for him. Whereas according to the one who says that it's just because when he tells them he bought it for cheap, that he sold it for cheap, they're going to make it even cheaper for him, since they don't recognize this guy, they don't trust him to say that he gave it to the wealthy people over there for cheaper, and they're not going to make it cheaper for him just because he says so. So that would be the difference between those two interpretations. Now, the Gemara brings a story that will relate back to this halacha, that Besura Azli Arba Arba, in Surah, which is the name of a place, there were four grivi, a type of measurement, that you could buy for a zuz. Now, but Kafri, in the name of a place, Kafri, asn shisa sisa. They were even cheaper. You were able to buy 6 griva for a zuz. Now, Yav Rav, what Rav did, he lived in Surah, he gave a zuzi l'chamara, he gave a zuz to the donkey drivers. For Kabbal Allah, into the arch, and he accepted even upon himself all liabilities of the trip, which would make him like the owner and them just like a shliach. V'shaku minayi chamsha, and he took from them for only 5, meaning where he lived, it was very expensive. You only get 4 griva for a zuz. Now, he wanted to buy at a cheaper price, so what he did was, he told the donkey drivers, look, I'm taking all responsibility, so it's not even like a loan at all. It's my money, and you're just buying for me, essentially, because if you're taking responsibility, then it's like a milva. So all my responsibilities, there's no area of any problem about ribis, and do me a favor, go ahead and get for me the cheaper price of 6 griva for a zuz, and he gave them a zuz for their service, and he paid them for each one 5. So they asked, why? Benishkal Shisa. Why didn't he take 6 griva for a zuz? In other words, since he accepted the liability of the trip on himself, so as we said before, there's no problem about ribbis, because it's not a loan at all. It's like they're just his shluchim. Moreover, even if he hadn't accepted the oinz, the urcha, the any mishaps, any liabilities on the road, we just learned before that the chamorim, they go ahead and they prefer to give someone the cheaper price because then it opens up, because here they have capital. Here Rav gave them money going in. They're happy that they have money. So even though that he's getting the cheaper price, he should be allowed to do that, as we explained before in the halacha of the chamar. So the Gemara says, Adam Chashav Shani. You're right. For those 2 reasons, he would be allowed to get it for 6, but he only went for 5 because a respectable person, a Talmud Chacham like Rav, is different. He's held to a higher standard, and he has to show people that he's not going to capitalize on other people, and he's not going to go for the 6, but rather for the 5. Now, Boimene Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yechanan, he asked, regarding this halacha that we just said, regarding this leniency of the chamor, and although it would seem like it's agronatur that he gets to get the money from the wealthy people, and he only gives, and because of that he gets to use the money, he gives them cheaper price, where they're getting more on the money. We said, no, it's not. It's just actually the donkey driver prefers it himself, because then he has a lot of capital, or because he gets even cheaper prices. So now the question was, Mao lasis begrur tois kain. What's the halacha regarding other merchandise? For example, let's say these small broken pieces of gold or silver or other types of metals. Do we say that the previous halacha was only regarding to like produce, which is something that's very common and which you're a continuing customer? It's something that people always need, and it's something that a person that's in that line of business is going to continuously come back. So you could say both of those svaras that we said before. First of all, he prefers to give them the cheaper price because then he has all the money to be able to access from the merchants. And moreover, they're going to make it cheaper for him. Now, however, in regards to other merchandise, where, first of all, it doesn't necessarily open up gates and it doesn't make the price cheaper because whoever's selling it to him now might not sell it to him tomorrow. And moreover, the merchandise that he's buying today, he might not buy tomorrow. It's not as a constant and something as a staple as produce. So maybe over there the halacha wouldn't apply because you don't really have those 2 svaras. You don't necessarily have that the merchants will be the continuing merchants or that he'll be buying the same merchandise because it's more volatile, it's not as stable and as staple as produce. So Malay, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, he says, Bikish Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi lasses, Kain Bukli Pishtan. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi actually attempted to try to do this halacha with the donkey drivers with linen clothing, meaning not just with produce. V'lohinicha Rebbe, and Rebbe did not allow him, because yes, the logic does not apply by things beyond produce. Ikidami, there does actually say that because Rebbe lasses begrutoyis kain, it was Rebbe who actually attempted to do it with these like broken pieces of metals. V'lohinicha Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe, and Shmuel Rebbe did not let him go ahead and do it. So we see that yes, actually the logic of those 2 interpretations of the leniency of Chamorin only applies by produce and not by other merchandise like metals. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before, which was the topic of the previous daf, regarding this concept about pisuk, which is paying forward and only getting the delivery at a later point in time. So on that, the Gemara says, pardesa, regarding an orchard where someone buys wine from the vineyard at a very cheap price, and he's going to buy for the produce of the coming year for a certain price, and he's buying it only at a point in time when it's at an early stage. When it's by bais or some other way, the bud just started coming out, but it didn't reach yet the time when it was already fully ripened. And that's when he's paying for it, but he's going to get the wine at a later point in time. So we have machlekes. Rav asa. Rav said it's forbidden. Now the reason for that is because since he's giving the money now to get the produce the wine, the grapes when it's going to be harvested later on, it seems like he's getting a cheaper price. He's paying it for now, which that's problematic for Agar Natar. Meaning to say that the seller gets to hold on to his money, and because of that he's charging him a cheaper price and giving him at a higher price, that's for that loan is Agar Natar. Ushmul Shari, but Shmuel says permitted. As the Gemara explains, Ravas, he says it's forbidden, as we said, because kivun lekamei shavitrei, since at that later point in time, the grapes are going to be worth more, and that's when he's going to be delivering it to him. So mischazi kagar not delay. So it's viewed as if the delay of the holding onto the money is what he's getting more back for, which is similar to the problem about ribbis, as to Issud Rabban. Ushmul Shari, but Shmuel says is it permitted? Why? Because kivun to have a bay to you. Now, because you're right, although generally that is forbidden, because it looks like Agar Natar, but here it's different regarding wine, because since by wine there's what's called Tiyua, which actually the word Tiyua comes from a problem, an area of regret, like the Gemara Kedushin says, Toya al-Rishayin, he regrets the earlier things. It means to say that many times in a vineyard, a lot of things could go wrong. There could be hail, there could be rain, there could be snow, there could be sleet, all these different things will ruin the crop. And the wine, the grapes could easily get ruined. Now, the one who is paying for it now in the early stages, he's accepting upon himself those areas of doubtful loss. Now, it's for that reason that he's getting a cheaper price. Not because of that, oh, he's getting it cheaper because he's getting more back on his money because it was a loan to the seller. No, it's because you don't know in your investment that you might actually lose. So that doesn't look like Agar Natar. It's because actually the reason why he's getting a cheaper price is because he's willing to invest even though the product might not even develop. That's why, not because of the delay of the money. Now, however, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, he says, although Rav disagreed and said it's Aser, Umaydi Rav B'Toyri, but Rav agrees when in a place of the way they harvest and they work the vineyard is with oxen, with a wagon, that they take the wagon with the oxen between the rows of the vineyard, and very easily the feet of the ox get stuck into the roots of the vines in the ground, where the nafesh pesidai, where there's a lot of loss that's potential over there. Therefore, even Rav would agree that that's not Agar Natar. It's obvious that he's getting a cheaper price by buying it now and getting it only later because it's a high risk venture you get for cheaper prices and not because of Agar Natar. Now the Gemara continues what we mentioned before regarding sub bisa, which is another rabbinic problem about ribbis, when you borrow something the same and you give back the same thing from the next door neighbor, but it might go up in price in the meantime and you're giving back something more than what was borrowed. So Amalu Shmuel Ahanu Deshavshi Shivsha. So there were certain areas that had to be prevented from this problem. So Shmuel would tell the homeowners, the landowners who would lend seeds to their sharecroppers to go ahead and plant for the produce, and then the sharecroppers would pay them back the seed when they would get the new grain. Then they would take the seed and give them back to the landowners. So Shmuel told to the landowners who would lend the seeds to their sharecroppers that Hafuchu Ba'ara, turn over the land, meaning help out something in the working of the land, whether with the plowing or with the reaping, do something. So that you, the landowner, actually have an ownership on some level in the land, meaning with the seed that's being seeded in the land, because meaning to say that it shouldn't be like it was totally lent to the sharecropper. On some level, the worker, really the sharecropper, he actually like borrows the thing, and then he pays the owner a certain percentage. Make sure that you work the land so that you hold on to a share in the land. Because if you don't, essentially what's going to be is that the seed that you're giving to the sharecropper is going to be like a loan, what we call sa b'sa, and vasa, then it's going to be forbidden. As we said, you're not allowed to lend something to get back exactly what was given, because then it might go up in price. That's the avak ribis of sa b'sa. But if you hold on to, you're right, so then it's not like a loan. A loan is only when the guy has full responsibility. Here, since you're holding on to some of it by working the land, then it's not going to be a problem about sa b'sa. Similar type of a situation. The Amalu Rav Lahanu Dimitri Bagi. Rav is told to those who would watch the standing crop until it was reaped. He said, "Puku, go out and hafuchu bebe dari. Go out and turn over in the threshing house, meaning go and help the landowners of the valley with the threshing of their produce in the threshing house, meaning with the bringing and the taking. Help out something." Why? Why should you continue helping them even post your job? Your job is only to watch them in the standing grain. Why help them in the threshing? The reason for that is because they would delay paying the workers, the watchmen, up until they finished the whole process of the threshing house, until they smoothed out the pile. Now, then they would give you an extra gift on the pay that they owe you because you waited so long. Now, that's a problem about ribis. That's called agonater. For not taking your money right away, it's like a loan by them, and they're giving you more money because of that. That's why he told them, assist them. Now, because that you're going to be assisting them, that means your work is going to be continuing on, up until, because you're going to help them all the way up until they finish the threshing. And the reason why you should do that is so that your working for them is not finished up until that moment because you'll still be working. And the significance of that is the halacha is that a rental, where in this place it's an employee, it only finishes the payment at the end of the job. Now, so therefore, there's not going to be any waiting for payment because your job's not finished. You're only finished then when they're going to pay you. So even if they're going to add on payment to you, that's not pay for delay for your payment. Rather, vahi shait, it's just at that moment when they finish the job and you finish your job and they're going to come to pay you, they're lowering their price of their produce that they're going to give you from that, so you're going to get more quantity, but it's not because of agonater, because you're not waiting, because your job wasn't finished up until you finished your work, and you worked all the way till the end. So he says, continue working, so that's not going to be a problem about agonater. So to Amalei Rabban al-Rabba, the rabbi said to Rava, Ka'ocha ma ribis, you, Rava, the master, you eat ribis. Why? The kula almo, because everybody, meaning all the people, all the landowners that lease out their fields to sharecroppers, Shakli arba, they take only 4 kur for the leasing of their field. Moreover, umisalki la risa b'nisan, they force the sharecroppers to reap the crop in Nisan and to get off the field in Nisan. Mar, but you the master, not to luhad ir. You wait for them to give you up until ir. And v'shakal shisa, and you take 6 more than everyone else who takes only 4. Now the assumption is, it seems like, that it's because that he waits for them to pay him the lease an extra month, which is agernater, waiting for them to give them the money that they owe him, he takes another 2 from 4 to 6. That's agernater. That's waiting to get paid is charging more. So Amalahus, the rabbi said to the rabbis, he says, no way, you got it exactly the opposite. Atunkav decent shleikadin. It's you guys who do inappropriately. Why? I'll explain to you as follows. Aro la oris mishtabid. The land, which is leased out to a sharecropper, is indebted to the sharecropper up until the grain has fully ripened. Now, therefore, actually what you do when you force the sharecropper off in Nisan, it's you guys who are doing inappropriate. Because i'atun maslikisilu hu b'nisan, if you force them off the land already in Nisan, and their grain has not fully ripened inside the stalk, mafsidisilu hu b'kama, you're causing the sharecroppers a large loss. So you guys are doing inappropriate that you're forcing them off already in Nisan, and therefore only taking 4. I know what I do, Natran Luhad Ir, I wait for them till Ir because that's how long it takes for it to be developed. And that's actually the commitment that a landowner has to a sharecropper. Now, the fact that I take more is not because of agernater. Umavachnu luhu bekama. It's because now that there is gain all around, I actually take the profit of my field of the lease. That's why I could charge more for the lease, because now they're getting more. They're happy that they're able to wait another month for the profit of their grain that they planted. It's me that now I can just charge more because I'm giving a better product. But it's not because of the waiting for them to pay me the 4 kor that I could then, oh, I'm waiting for you longer, I'm going to charge you 6. That would be agernater, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm doing the right thing, and therefore I could charge the higher price, not because of delay of money. And the Gemara continues Amud Beis in related discussion, as we have been saying, with David Tamid HaChacham regarding business dealings and with problems possibly regarding ribis. So the Gemara quotes different incidents with different Tamid HaChacham and business dealings. So Rav Mori bar Rachel, Rav Mori, who is the son of Rachel, now as Rashi points out, we don't usually say the mother's name, is this Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, the famous Amori Shmuel. She was taken in captivity, and the non-Jew had married her, and then he later converted, and his name was Isser the convert. Now Rav Mori, he actually was, his mother, Rachel, was impregnated when the father was still a non-Jew. Now, by the time he was born, his father had already converted, was already
a Jew. Now, but because of the dignity of the Amori, Rav Mori, so they didn't call him after his father who was had fathered him when he was still a non-Jew. Rather, they called him after his mother. So Rav Mori, the son of Rachel, Mishkin Le'ahu Nachri Besa, a non-Jew who took a loan from him, gave him his house as collateral. Now, Hadar, then the non-Jew went, and Zavna L'Rava, and he went and he sold the house to Rava. Now, Natar, Rav Mori waited, Tresa Yarche Shati, waited for a full year, and then, only then, Shokel Agar Besa, did he take the rent, the rental value of the coming year, and Amatulei L'Rava, and then he brought it to Rava, who he's really the owner now, because the one who had the collateral and that gave it to him actually sold it off to Rava. Now, Amalei, he explained to Rava why he did this. He says, the reason why I didn't bring rent to the master up until now, I mean, I knew a few months ago that you were already the owner, and every month there's a certain how much rent costs, is because the stam mashkanta shata, general of a collateral, is for a period of a year. Now, therefore, Iboi Nachri Lasalki, during this past year that I had it from when he gave it to me as collateral, if that non-Jew borrower of mine wanted to remove me from the house, he would not be able to remove me because collateral, it goes to the lender for a period of a year. Now, now let the master take, now that the year is up. So my lien of the collateral is up, and now it's not owned by that non-Jew anymore. Rather, you own it, so now I'm going to pay you rent every month for the year that I owe you because now it's yours. Now I have to pay you. Now my mashkant is up. Now, Amalei, so now Rav said to Rav Mori Barachel, he says, look, had I known that this house was collateral for you, I didn't know I bought from the non-Jew. If had I known that you had a lien on it, I actually would not have bought from the non-Jew. And the reason for that is, as Tosafot points out, is because, as we brought in the Daf Samaches and Aleph, the reason why a mashkanta is called mashkanta is because it comes from the word of shachin, where it has the halachas of a neighbor, which is the halacha of bar metzra, just like a field has to be sold first and foremost to its neighbors, they have first rights, so too the one who has the collateral, he has first dibs in buying it. So it says, Rabbi, had I known that this non-Jew had given it collateral for you, I would never have bought it. But Hashem, now that I did buy it, kidinei mavdin lach, I will treat you with the same leniencies as the secular laws, which kol emes de lemesalki bezuzi, the law that they have is as long as the borrower did not pay up the debt to the lender with the money that he owes him, lo shokel agar beisa, so then he can't take the rent for the house. That collateral could be totally utilized by the lender, and he can't collect rent because until he pays up his debt. Because in the secular law, they treated the mashkanta as if it's totally sold for that period to the lender. So it says, Rav, I'm not going to take from you the rent, although I own it, until I make sure that you get removed from this by getting your money paid up, meaning until I force the non-Jew to pay up the money that he owes you. Up until then, I'm not going to collect rent from you. Now, Rashi just points out, it's not because that he didn't want to take rent from him because of a problem about ribis, because of that there's a loan over here, and he's getting more than what was loaned, because it's not Rava that owed him anything, it was the non-Jew. So it wouldn't be a problem about him giving rent to Rava as if it's ribis on the loan, because the loan had nothing to do with Rava, it was with Rav Mori and the non-Jew, and therefore there's no problem about ribis, but rather, it's like he explained, the reason why I'm doing this is because of the secular law, I'm not going to do you more harm than what you had with the non-Jew who was the owner of the field. Now the Gemara continues with another story that Amalei Rava Mibar Nishla Ravashi says, Chazimar, let the master see, Rabbanan Dukachli Rabisa, there are rabbis who are consuming and engaging in ribis in interest. Because the Havi Zuzi Achamer B'Tishrei, what the rabbis are doing is they're giving money for wine in Tishrei, Umafchile B'Tevis, and they choose the good wine in Tevis. Now, had they taken the wine in Tishrei, maybe the one that they would have taken would have soured. So it comes out, and this is what he's pointing out to him, why it's a problem about ribis, is because they give their money up front in Tishrei, and at that point in time, it's not Yatzah HaShar, then you don't have that leniency of Yatzah HaShar, that the seller accepts responsibility and liability, and therefore he's giving them the good wine later on, because he's giving them money up front, which that's a problem about Agranata. Now, Rashi just points out that seemingly that this shouldn't be a problem, because why is this any different than what we learned on the previous daf, that when there's yeshloi chit, and that's the halacha of yeshloi, as we learned in the Mishnah, if he has, then there's no problem about about ribis, and here the wine is there. So that he says because wine is different, because wine could very easily sour, and maybe all of it would sour, and therefore you don't say yeshli, because who said he has anything? Although he has wine, maybe he's actually not going to have anything at that point in time, so you don't view it as yeshli to say that it's already in the domain of the buyer. So he says that the rabbis are engaging a ribis because they're paying now, and because they're paying up front, he's going to make sure that they give, and that responsibility that the seller is taking is an added benefit that they're getting more than what they're paying for. So Amalei, so he said to him, no. Inunami, these rabbis too, achamra kuyave. What are they giving money for? For wine. Achal lo kuyave, they're not paying for vinegar. And therefore he explained this follows. He says, Mi'ikar, in the beginning when they pay the money in Tishrei, the chamra chamra. When they're paying for wine, they're paying for wine. The chala chala, if whatever is vinegar is already vinegar. In other words, whatever wine ends up souring already has that problem inside of it. It's just not recognizable because we can't see on a microscopic level. Now, the wine that is ruined, he's not paying for that. And therefore, he shaitu could mechavri. It's actually that moment that they pay for it that they're already choosing out. Say, I'm paying for wine. Now, had I picked it out right now, I would never have known that I had a mekach tais, that I took the wrong thing. But essentially, I'm paying for wine. And therefore, when the seller gives them the wine, the good wine later on, it's actually what they bought originally. It's not that it's a service provided for them, which would be a problem of ribis. Another incident, Ravina habayoyev zuzi lebnei akrid shanvasa. Ravina would give money to the people of akrid shanvasa. Shanvasa was the name of the river, and Akra was like a country, a place that was at the edge of that river. And Ravina would give the money before the harvesting of the grapes, to that he should get the wine at the time of the harvesting, and he would pay them the price of that time, which that's permitted because he's not getting for the price for now, for later. He actually would be paying for that price for then. Now, but the problem that was is v'shafchile tfei kufisa. They would actually, on their own, without any stipulation beforehand, they would give him an extra measurement of more than what he paid. So also coming to Ravashi, so coming from the Ravashi, Amalei Mishari says, is this permitted? Because what happens is I'm paying them now, and because I'm paying them now, they're giving me something more. Not for the price, because the price I'm actually paying them for that later price. But they're giving me an extra measurement more than, maybe that's agrinatur. So Amalei said to him, he says, actually, it is permitted. He asked him, is it permitted? He says, yes. He says, achulihu dekomach legabach. It's them who they're forgiving, they're being meichel to you, they're doing you a favor. And that is because since you didn't do what's called peace, you didn't make up with them, and it's them on their own volition that they're giving it to you. And moreover, they don't mention at the time when they give you this extra measurement, oh, that it's for the payment for the money that you gave us up front that we're able to use it. No, it's just a gift, and the gift you're allowed to accept. Now, but a different problem he had, once he's coming to ask the Shaila, he says, Amalei, he says, okay, fine, so there's no problem about ribis. But ha'ara lavdituhi, this land is not really theirs. In other words, they were wealthy people who, they saw that there were certain people who left their fields and fled. The reason for that is because they didn't want to pay the taxes to the government, to the king. So they would take those people's fields and vineyards, and they would pay the taxes to the government, and then they would use those fields, and that's the wine that he's coming to buy from. Now the problem is maybe the wine that I'm buying from them is stolen goods, because land can't be stolen. In other words, it's always considered in the domain of the original owners, and therefore the produce, the fruits, the grapes that are taken off from it are stolen from their fields. And therefore, maybe it's not a problem by ribis, maybe it's a problem by stolen goods. And maybe that's why I shouldn't buy from them. So Amalei, so he said to him, Aro letaske mishabda. The land is indebted for the taxes of the land. I mean, say that's the law of the land. That's the government. They decide that the land it's indebted to its taxes. Now, Umalka Amma, and the king says, Mandayov taska, whoever pays the tax, lechalara will eat the produce of the land. In other words, the halacha of the government that they own the land, Maldina Machusadina, they define that is the law, and therefore they're not doing anything wrong. The people that flee and then they pay the taxes, they get to consume it. That's what the government says, who could easily confiscate it, and they decide what happens. Therefore, it's not a problem by Gezel. Similar type of incident. Amalei Rav Papa LaRava says, Chazimar, let the master see, Hani Rabban and these rabbis, the Yavi Zuzi Acharga de Inshi, that they pay the head tax, that every single Jew had to give money to the government for just being a person. That's a head tax, that's as an individual. So there were certain people that were paying other people's head taxes, Umashabdi Butvei, and they were then working them very hard. They were taking them almost like slaves to work for them because they were paying their head taxes for them. So Amalei said to him, he says, look at that. Had it been that I would pass away, I could have passed away and I wouldn't have told you this important halacha. It's a good thing that you asked me this. Hachayim Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Sheshes says. Markayu dahani, the seal of servitude of these people, betafsa de malkamanach, is placed in the treasury of the king. In other words, every single person in that country are slaves to the king, because as we said, din mechus din, the government could decide to do whatever they want with its population. Malkam, and the king says, mandala yov charga, whoever doesn't pay his head tax, lishtab l'man, the yov charga, is indebted and enslaved to the one who pays his head tax. And therefore, it's the king that decrees that, and therefore that's allowed to be done, and it's okay that the rabbis go ahead and pay someone else's tax and then make him work for them. Related discussion about forcibly taking someone and doing work with him, Rav Sa'irim, who is Ahud the Rava, he was the brother of Rava, have a tukif inchi d'lemalo, he would grab and force unsavory types of people, and he would force them to carry the wagon that was used to transport Rava. Now, Amalei Rava says, brother Rava said to him, he says, Shabaka avadata, this is very good that you're doing. You're allowed to do what you're doing. The Tanina, as we learned in the Braisa, Re'isa she'en noy kashur, if you see another Jew who's not acting appropriately, not up to par with his Yiddishkeit, Minayin shatar rishoy lishtabit, boy, how do you know that you're allowed to enslave him, to work him? Tamalema, that's the pasuk teaches in Vayikra. Now this pasuk is in Vayikra Chafei Memvav. The literal pasuk says that there is going to be inheritance for your children after you to inherit like a forever ancestral the non-Jewish slaves. And like it says, La'olam bem tavoidu, you should enslave them forever. Then there's like a comma, and then it says, but uvachechem b'nei Yisrael, but your brothers, the Jewish people, ish ba'achav le'sirdabai b'farach, but a man and his brother, he's not allowed to work him with hard labor. You can't take him in that type of servitude. Now, but because the words are close to each other, they're read as follows. You could read uvachechem as a continuation of the previous statement, that forever you should enslave them, and your brothers should also you'll enslave them. That's if they're not acting like your brother. Now, yachla filanoi kashur, you think the same, that you could enslave them like a non-Jewish person, even if they're acting appropriately. Tamalama, that's what the pasuk teaches, and you read it the other way. Kama, uvachechem b'nei Yisrael, and your brothers, the Jewish people, ish ba'achem b'goymer, a man and his brother, etc., which says that loyser, b'farach, then you cannot work him hard. So since these people are unsavory, these are people that are not noy kashura, you could enslave them, and you could have them do this work that you're doing them. Amrav Chama, he says, Hayman de yob zuzi l'chavri, a person that gives money to his friend, Lemezmin le chamer, to go ahead and buy wine for him, meaning it's the time of the harvesting. This is when the best price you can get for grapes. And he gives money to his friend. He says, go, you're going to that area, go and buy me the grapes in the time of the harvest that I could get wine. And that guy who you gave him the money to buy for you is negligent and doesn't end up buying. So says Rav Chama, Mishalem le, so that guy has to pay him back wine according to the cheap price that could have been bought at that time. Meaning as the price is of that place of afarvasa dizol shafat, which that's the name of a place where that's where wine is the main place where they all go and they sell the wine from the summer harvest, which that's the cheapest price you can get. It says that he could have gone there, and that's the price you could have gotten, and he was negligent and didn't go. Now he's got to pay you back that which you could have gotten for that amount of money. Now, Amma Meima, Meima says that Amit Lashmaita Kamidra Rav Zid Ben Arda. I said over this teaching in front of Rav Zid Ben Arda, and Amma, he said, and he qualified. He says, Kikam Rav Chama, when did Rav Chama say this teaching? Hanami Labiyayin Stam. That's when the guy who said to him said, whatever, give me wine. So that for sure he could have gotten. And since he didn't, that was negligent on his part, now he's got to compensate him. Abayayin Zeloy. But if he said this wine, he told him specifically which wine he wants to get, then he doesn't have to compensate him, even though he didn't go. Because who said that that guy who has that type of wine would have sold him that vintage, would have given him, maybe he wouldn't have sold it to him. If it's everyone, it doesn't make sense that from everyone that sells in the whole country, he wouldn't have gotten it. But Yayin Zeh, who said it would have been sold, and therefore who said it's a loss that he caused him, and therefore then he doesn't have to compensate him. Now Rav Asher, I mean, he says, Afili Yayin Stam Namile, he says, no, disagreeing with the previous halacha, it says that even if he told him any wine, he doesn't have to compensate him if he was negligent and didn't go buy for him. Because my timer, what's the reason? Asmachtehi. In other words, even if he guaranteed him and he said that if I don't buy for you, I'll pay you back for my own, at the end of the day, it's what's called in halacha an asmachta. Asmachta is a word of semich, of reliance. But there was no formal acquisition over here. And vasmacht lekanya, and a reliance doesn't create an acquisition. So although he relied on him, and yeah, maybe he could have gotten wine at the cheap price, but he didn't, and because he didn't, he's not liable. Now the Gemara asks, but according to Rav Ashi just said, Maishnam haditznan, why is it any different from that we learn in the Mishnah later on? But the Mishnah is talking about someone that accepts a field from his friend as a sharecropper for half the profits. Now, then he leaves the field fallow. He does not work the field, doesn't plow it, doesn't plant it. So the halacha is that we evaluate how much it would have been fit to produce that field. Like this guy said, I'll work your field and you don't do anything, I'll give you half the profits and I'll just work it. So the halacha is that if he didn't do anything with the field, we evaluate how much it could have done, and then he has to give that to the owner. Now the reason for that is because that's what he writes in the document when they write up the contract. In the beginning, he writes that im oivr v'loy evet, if I will leave the land fallow and I will not work it, ashalom b'meitva, so then I'm going to pay you from my best stuff to compensate you for your loss. Now, so one thing that we see is that since he caused him a loss and he was relying on him, that we don't call it, quote, an asmachta, because the only thing he's accepting upon himself is a loss that he caused him. And we see from that Mishnah that the loss that he caused him, which he potentially could have gotten, that he has to pay for it, and he pays. So that's not like Rav Ashi, who says that it also caused him a loss that he could have potentially gotten, and he still says that he's exempt. So I think our answer is no. Hasam b'yadin, that Mishnah later on, it's within the sharecropper's wherewithal, he could have worked it, and he just was lazy, he just was negligent, and he didn't. So then he has to compensate him. But as we continue on top of Ayin Dalam and Aleph, Hachala B'yadli. Here, even as Rav Ashi says, even by Yein Stam, it's not in his wherewithal. Because maybe whoever he would have gone to would not have sold it to him. And if Rav Ashi says, although yes, potentially he could have, but it's not necessarily as direct as that Mishnah over there where he could have gone and he could have done it and he didn't plant and plow the field, then he has to compensate him over here. It's not more than an asmachta, because ultimately, it's still relying on him and not something that he could have done because maybe the guy that he would have gone to would not have sold him. And that's why, in that case, Rav Ashi says, disagreeing with the previous halacha, he says that even by Yain Stam, the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay him back.